everybody to the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We got the Shady Creek Bluegrass Quartet. Man, they're kicking butt on this beautiful number that they're doing. They'll be on stage live on our Passover on May the 2nd in Andrews, North Carolina. We're going to kick it off on May the 1st, the night of May the 1st. We'll be doing the preparation, the foot washing, and the last day of leavened bread. We're going to talk about it tonight in the sacred element mysteries of the second Passover and why we do it. We'll be right back with you after the Shady Creek brings it on. Welcome in here, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, and I really feel the excitement that's building in my spirit here on the times that we have to discuss with you the holy elements of the second Passover. I'm very excited tonight. I'm going to show you some secret newfound revelations that we're going to share with you for those of you who have not studied on the mystery of the second Passover. There is a reason that we keep the second Passover. Now, we're going right into the scriptures. After we go, we're going to tell you something here very exciting. We believe it's very exciting. And that is in the times that we have on May the 6th. Now, we'll be in the second Passover, of course, on May the 6th, it don't end until the 9th. That's the holy last day. So, at 3 minutes and 4 seconds after 2 a.m. on the 6th of May this year, the time and date will be 02, 03, 04, 05, 06, 07. Isn't that something? And, ladies and gentlemen, it'll never happen again. And so, if you miss this second Passover coming up, you're going to miss the appointments of this wonderful event. We've had some very strange and peculiar witnesses of the second Passover. Rainbows galore. The crown rainbow around the altar in Andrews, North Carolina, 5 or 6 years ago, in the second Passover, ladies and gentlemen. And we have been so blessed with signs and wonders. Your Heavenly Father has hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. Now, why would He do something like that, Pastor Buddy? Well, simply because the Bible says that these things are hidden from those type of people because they say they see. You see, they're out here in a bell box eating crackers and drinking grape juice around Easter. And in the book of Acts, chapter 12, it talks about a witness that the apostles. Now, this is after Christ died, ladies and gentlemen. This is after He ascended back into heaven. In the 12th chapter, starting at the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd verses of chapter 12, we find the word Easter. It's the first and only time that you will ever find it in the King James Bible. The first and only. Now, why is the word Easter put in there? Well, for obvious reasons, but what we want to concentrate on is that they they killed James. Now, that's the brother of John. They killed him. Because, was it because he was teaching the Passover in direct opposition to the Jews who taught the Passover also, but they taught it on their terms? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we still have people like that today that like to teach it on their terms. Let me show you what the Word says. And then, right before they killed James, and then immediately after, they tried to kill Peter also, but the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, that's what it says there, the days of unleavened bread. Now, what's the days of unleavened bread? It's just not going to the church and having a cracker and drinking some grape juice or unleavened bread. Most of it are crackers. That's okay. There's nothing, as long as it's unleavened. But, ladies and gentlemen, there are 7 days that you're to eat unleavened bread. They just do it at an Easter morning service. And you're not supposed to eat the Passover until the evening or the night of the 15th day. Now, what was it then, or why is it that people misunderstand the New Testament when they believe that Christ ate the Passover? Well, it's obvious that he couldn't do both. He could not die on Passover Day, the 14th, and eat the first meal of unleavened bread on the 15th, else he would have broke his own laws, and we know he was crucified at 3 o'clock. He couldn't eat the Passover. People say, well, he did. Well, no, he did not. And we're going to talk about and prove to you that the meal that he ate with his disciples, when they asked him in the 17th verse of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, and verses 1 through 5 is very important. And from verse 5, if you'll draw a line over to verse 17, where do you want us to make preparation? Not the Passover, not to eat the Passover. Some people ignorantly think that they were eating the Passover in John 13:1. But John 13:1 says, before the Passover. It was the meal, ladies and gentlemen, that they shared, the last meal of leavened bread. We're going to prove it was leavened bread. The word in the Greek tells you that the bread, it's got a number to it. Very few people have ever gone to the trouble to look it up. But if you do, you'll find out that this word that they were using for bread there in the Greek, and the Hebrew is the same thing, the words are not different. It is Strong's number, write it down now, 740, Strong 740, and the word is artos, A-R-T-O-S, artos. They were eating artos. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it just so happens that Strong's word artos is for leavened bread. It is the general bread or any kind of food or substance that was used as it is in common bread. So the word artos, it was not the word prothesis, which means a setting forth. It was a bread or a loaf of bread of the setting forth of artos, which was always leaven. It was not the word zumos, which means in Strong's number 106, unleavened bread. Now, think about it. Two reasons why. We're going to give you the scientific reasons first with the Strong's. The word A-Z-U-M-O-S is Strong's number 106, and it means unleavened bread, to signify that the bread used would have been unleavened, would have used Strong's 106 instead of Strong's 740, which is artos. And the word is artos, meaning it was leavened. It was the last meal before the 14th day, which the 14th day was a work day, ladies and gentlemen. But the Messiah started in the evening before the 14th day. Now, set the stage for the event and get it in your mind. And everybody said, oh, see right there now, he rose from supper and he girded himself with a towel and he washed his disciples' feet and they were keeping Passover. They was not keeping Passover. We know through the rituals of the Hebrew custom. He was just following custom. As we go back to the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, where the two angels and Yahweh himself came into the presence of Abraham on the Passover season. They came down in the evening of the 13th day of the month of Abib, ladies and gentlemen. And there, Abraham prepared a meal, and they ate, and Abraham washed their feet. Now, the next day, proving that the angels were the night after that, it would have been the first day of unleavened bread, because in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, it plainly states that they had at the meal that Lot, remember now he was a close associate of Abraham, this is not the law of Moses, it's the law of the fathers, and Lot fed the angels unleavened bread. They would have not eaten unleavened bread had it not been for the festival of Passover. That's the only time that unleavened bread is ordained and commanded. Not for one day, not for a great juice cracker experience in Easter, but for a festival that goes for 7 days and unleavened bread is eaten the whole 7 days. Now, what kind of bread did he eat in John 13:1? It's also recorded in the book of Matthew. It says specifically that while he was eating the bread, and the word is there again, Strong's number 740, artus, which is leavened bread, not the word azumos, which is Strong's number 106. Check it out for yourself in the Greek. Get you a Greek interlinear, like I did, and you'll find out some things that you might have never known. Now, let's set the second stage for the second reason why he wasn't eating a first Passover meal. He could not have eaten the first Passover and died on Passover Day. You don't eat the Passover meal to the day of the 15th. Now, the day of the 15th in Acts 26, or in Matthew 26, verse 17, they plan to go somewhere to prepare, not to eat the Passover, to prepare. Now, when they went to the place, and it specifies where they went, and they were getting the preparation meal ready, and they're going to down the second Passover, ladies and gentlemen, or the Messiah's, we believe, and that's the reason we keep the second Passover, for those who were unclean. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, we're not unclean. Well, if you look at the parable in the 19th chapter of the book of Luke, Yahweh sure himself, I'm going to cover that just in a moment if I get time, because I'm going to try to wrap up in this message the third aspect of the mystery of the second Passover. We taught on it every year for years and years, and we've taught the same message over and over. But tonight, I am, and I very seldom do this, because when I get in a public debate, I use things that I never preach on the radio. The mysteries and the elements are taught to the sheep. I teach this to the sheep, those who have ears to hear and those who are deserving of the message and the meat and the bread that comes from heaven. And that's only for those who are qualified to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The word again, azumos, A-Z-U-M-O-S, Strong's number 106 is unleavened. Now, the word that is used in John 13:1 and in 14 Mark and in 26 Matthew, same word. Look at all three. You got three witnesses here. You look at the same words. They don't change. Check it out in your Greek interlinear. Then go to the Hebrew for the word unleavened, and you'll get the numbers. Cross-reference these, and you'll see that the Messiah was eating leavened bread. Now, if it had been the Passover, but it couldn't have been a Passover. You see, he died on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. We know what time he died. Now, let's go to the sequence here. After we've established in John 13:1, that's a good one for you to reference, because it adds the element of foot washing. The other two scriptures do not, Matthew and Mark, do not mention foot washing. It is an element that John, the Revelator, brings in to the mystery of the element there in John 13:1, and it specifically says it was before the Passover that they ate the meal. Now, you don't eat the meal before Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, the sequence will show you it was the evening of the 13th. Now, at dark, it became the 14th day. Now, we know that after the meal, it was dark when the last sop was given of leavened bread. You think he would have given Judas the devil unleavened bread? I wouldn't think so. Now, he died as a type of sin. Sin is the type of leaven. It raises. That's what brings sin. So the Messiah became sin for you, and he did not have one bit of unleavened bread in his body when he hung there for you. He typified the unrighteous and the unclean. You say, well, I was clean before he ever died. No, you was not. You say, well, the Holy Ghost was given before he died. That is not true. Even the disciples did not have the Holy Ghost, because he told them specifically in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24 to go tarry at Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. Now, it came upon those on the Old Covenant. That's true. David prophesied with the Holy Ghost. Elijah had the Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth. But we're talking about the New Covenant. Under the New Covenant, the Holy Ghost was not given until the day of Pentecost. Now, by the day of Pentecost, those who had received the cleansing of water baptism in the name. You're unclean. I don't care if you eat 1,000 Passovers. You'll still be unclean. You can keep the law in all points and offend in one point of the gospel of the new covenant. And this is the covenant. Repentance and remission of sins for the remission of sins is water baptism in the name of your Savior. Now, you have to make up your mind what name that Savior's name is. So the bread was not azumos, Strong's number 106. It was the bread artos, which is Strong's number 740, unleavened bread. And the word azumos was not mentioned at John 13 when he mentioned bread. Otherwise, Satan would have been full of unleavened bread to go do the deeds of the rising of the flesh in himself. He rose up with that bread of leavening in his body, typifying sin, and Christ died for sin as a type of the leavening, that we might become unleavened in his presence through water baptism once and for all. Now, what about the great mystery, Pastor Buddy, of Luke chapter 19? Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Luke and his gospel, he actually gives us the scripture here in Luke 19. Listen to me as I read. And Yahweh said unto him, today, talking about a certain man that climbed the sycamore tree. You know who he was, don't you? He said to him, Zacharias, today is salvation come to this house, forasmuch then as he was a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man, verse 10 now, starting in verse 10. Verse 10 typifying the 10 lost tribes that were removed in 721 B.C. into a far country. And here's the parable of the great shepherd seeking the lost sheep. You think those that were present in Jerusalem were lost? No, they weren't lost. That was the house of Judah and the house of Binyamin, the small miscegenated tribe into the tribe, the royal tribe of Judah. But the 10 tribes scattered abroad was the command and the reason that he came. And he gave a command both in, now the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses, in John, or the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, and verse 5 and 6. Is a reference source that he commanded them not to go to the Gentiles, proving that the lost sheep were not Gentiles. That the lost sheep were the same ones that Peter refused to go in Acts chapter 10 when he was commanded to go to Cornelius of the Italian band. This was an Israelite that was scattered into the Gentile countries, and Peter was commanded to go, and he said, "Not so, I don't eat with unclean." Now, ladies and gentlemen, everybody knows the rest of the story. Peter later repented of that statement after Yahweh assured him that he's fixing to cleanse the Gentiles that people think were Gentiles, strong number 1483, if ethnos, meaning that his sheep were the ethnos, or a racial tribe, or racial covenant people, or the lost 10 tribes, the lost sheep that were scattered among the Gentiles. Go not to the Gentiles, but go to the lost sheep. Now again, Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, again, to confirm that the Messiah came and commanded them, the disciples, to go preach water baptism for cleansing. He didn't tell them to preach the Passover for cleansing. You do that for remembrance. Cleansing comes through water baptism, and you can't get to heaven unclean. You got to have your sins remitted in the name that the blood was shed in. Now, the types are linking together. Here, he said, a certain nobleman, went into a far country. Guess who that was? That was your Messiah that's fixing to die on the 14th day at 3 o'clock, raised again for a witness, and was seen for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1 and told them in Acts chapter 1 to go to Jerusalem and pray for the salvational power. Well, we know in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they heard this, they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And verse 38, Peter stood with all of the witnesses of the other disciples and said unto them, keep a first Passover to get cleansed? Uh-uh. Keep a second Passover for cleansing? No. What'd he say? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this was in direct opposition to the Jews who had taught the people that they were preaching to that it was sacrilegious or blaspheming to preach publicly, speak the name of Yahweh in public. This is what got Paul in trouble. This is what got the people that were speaking the message in trouble with Paul. But Paul wound up in the ninth chapter, he got struck to the ground. We're going to prove that Paul kept the second Passover in a journey. You say, "Well, we're not in a journey, Pastor Buddy." Well, they were. And ladies and gentlemen, according to Deuteronomy 16, verse 5, they had to keep the first Passover where his name was at. They couldn't go anywhere on the earth and justifiably keep the Passover if they were in reasonable distance to come and sanctify themselves to keep the first Passover. It was a command. Now, the second Passover, exclusive clause of the second Passover, was given for those who had touched the dead body, the embalmers, those who had handled the dead, or those who had eaten with the unclean. A lot of people leave that out, but it's a fact that Peter would not eat anything or with anybody that was judged to be unclean. In the 11th chapter of the book of Acts, to confirm what Pastor Buddy is preaching you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll give you more scripture in 5 minutes than most people can give you in 5 hours. Why? Because I don't have to hunt around and study and think about it. I have paid the price to bring the revelation of the truth of the last day gospel out of the house of Joseph to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know I'm in a journey. I know that my spirit has traveled. Here the nobleman went into a far country to receive himself a kingdom and to return, and he called. Guess how many servants, ladies and gentlemen, he called? He called 10 servants and gave them the instructional message. I just gave it to you. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Yahweh. That's what the apostles went out and preached in the aisles. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I don't have time. If I'm going to get in to part two, well, I'm going to have to actually go back to the scriptures where it says that there is a time and a place for us to keep the second Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give it in here, and if we can get the Shady Creek lined up here, we're going to give you a little bit of Shady Creek at the bottom of the hour here so that we can give you a message that would bless your soul. Here's Brother Odell in the lead with a Shady Creek bluegrass quartet. You'll hear them.
10 years ago, all in the cold dark night.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever walked the hills of Tennessee and North Carolina, you know you're in a fire country. you'll hear the Shady Creek Quartet on stage performing live. That's Fred Odell. He is the pastor of the Assembly in North Carolina. My, what a powerful man, a proven prophet over the years that I've known him. Outstanding character and intestinal integrity. And that's what I like about the men that wear the cloth to preach the name. Ladies and gentlemen, I know in whom I have believed, and we want you to do that too. The 10 servants, who do you think they were, ladies and gentlemen? Who is this man that went into a far country? Well, when he told them to go into the far country and preach the gospel to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, you say, well, they weren't lost. Well, then all of the traditional of the Caucasus Mountains and the 10 northern tribes wandering around lost sheep sent out from the house. We can prove to you that all of those chosen out of those houses back there in that day were Benjamites, with the exception of one Judite. He was a Canaanite mixture. And his daddy's name, he gives his daddy's name, Simon the Canaanite, was the father of Judas, or Judah, as it is in the proper Hebrew. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to into the scriptures, and we're going to give you the reasons why that the Apostle Paul and a lot of the disciples did not keep the first Passover. Number one, they were wanted by the Sanhedrin court. Now, we know in 70 A.D. the temple was destroyed, and the last sacrifice, Passover sacrifice, was done away with in the place where he said it must be kept, according to Deuteronomy 16 and 5, where my name is. You could be cut off if you didn't come to Jerusalem 2,500 years ago. You would be cut off if you were in the nation of Israel and failed your appointment to come up to Jerusalem to have the Levitical priesthood bring your lamb to you and give it to you, your portion. It had to be killed in the presence of the Levitical priest. That's the law of Moses. Now, for those in a far journey, the Bible said that they could sacrifice or kill that lamb wherever they found themselves in their own gates. This is the beautiful typology of Luke chapter 19. Now, here we go now into the gospel. As we start in the 18th chapter, we're going to trail this man named Paul. We're going to start in the 18th verse of the 18th chapter of the book of Acts. Very easy for you to remember now. Write it down, Acts 18 and 18. And Paul, after this, tarried with the brethren that he was with in Corinth a great while, and he took his leave of the brethren and sailed into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shaved or shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he had a vow. He's a fixing to get ready, if you will, to cleanse himself. He's fixing to keep the second Passover. You just don't know it yet, but you're going to find it out. And he's also getting ready after the second Passover to sail back to Jerusalem, not to keep the first Passover, as some people think, because it wasn't Passover that he went back, and it tells you what feast it was. There were three feasts that Israel was commanded to keep: Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. He was going to go back and keep the Feast of Pentecost. Remember, he hadn't been back to Jerusalem since he left Jerusalem on his way to Damascus 14 seasons later. What do you think he did in a far country? Think he kept the first Passover? Mm-mm. He wouldn't have no law. He was a keeper perfect. He had to keep that second one because he was in a far journey. He didn't get back to Jerusalem until 14 years later. We're going to prove that he went to Pentecost, not Passover. We're going to prove he kept the Passover in a little town. It names the town and the country that he kept Passover in. And it had to be the second Passover under the law. Now, let's go down to verse 19. And he came to Ephrath, and he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Wonder what about? And they desired him to tarry much longer time with them, but he consented not and bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now we're going to go and find out exactly where that he's going to go to. Now we're going to the 20th chapter. As Paul sails from Ephesus, he comes to Macedonia. Remember, he's on his way back to Jerusalem. But in Macedonia, he gets caught in the city of Macedonia, or in the country of Macedonia. Remember the little man that had his hand up where Paul was forbidden to go to? And later on, he saw a man in a vision with his hand up, and he went to Macedonia. Well, this is the story right here. And after he came into Macedonia, chapter 20 of the book of Acts, follow me if you will. I'm highlighting this now. Verse 22, we find in the 19th chapter that they sent him unto Macedonia, and they ministered unto him, even Timothy and Esterus, but he himself stayed in Asia, far journey, for a season. Now, but before going, and it names the towns that he went through, but going before, he tarried for us at Taurus, and we sailed away from Macedonia, Philippi, after the days of unleavened bread. Now, research and go back, mark in your Bible here, Luke 22:1, and find out what the days of unleavened bread is. It's the Passover. Remember, not Passover 1 here, Passover 2. He's in a far journey. He's in Asia. He's not in Jerusalem. He's planning on going. He's on his way. He's getting closer, but he's not there. We're going to prove it to you that he made it back to Jerusalem at Pentecost, and there, at Pentecost, on that feast at Pentecost, he confronted the disciples that were preaching contrary to sound doctrine. Peter had been carried away with the Jews' doctrine and refused to eat with these that he considered to be unclean. Chapters 9 and 10 of the book of Acts. Check it out, please. Or 10 and 11. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to towards us in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, he's going to depart on the 26th. And he sailed upon the first day of the week. Now, let's go over to the 16th verse of the 20th chapter. Follow me now. Remember now, he just kept the second Passover at Philippi in Macedonia. You say, well, no, he kept the first one. If he'd kept the first one, he'd have broke the law. There's a lot of people still breaking the law, but they just don't know it. Now, if they offend in one point, they're guilty of all of it. And then there will come judgment for those who do such things. For Paul had determined to sail back, as he promised them over here in Ephesus. He promised to come back by there because he would not spend time, any more time, in Asia. Remember, in Macedonia, he keeps the second Passover, or the days of unleavened bread. For he hasted, he was in a hurry, if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem. This is the 16th verse of the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. Proving to you that he didn't go there to keep the Passover. He went there to keep the day of Pentecost. And there in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, on the Pentecost occasion, Paul made it back there on time. And he declared unto them how the Holy Ghost had wrought special miracles to those who, the people at Jerusalem, the prophets can err. Here they erred because they considered, with Peter in the midst, carried away with the Jewish doctrine that they had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses, and Paul went and confronted them, not on Passover, but on the day of Pentecost. Now, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We have proven beyond a shadow of doubt. And in chapter 21, we find Paul's voyage to Jerusalem. Now, remember, he said, I want to be there at Pentecost. We know he made it, because the 15th chapter of the book of Acts confirms it in the 21st chapter and the 17th verse. We're going to read it now. In the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, the 17th verse, and when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Does that sound like that they were mad at Paul for preaching false doctrine? The brethren received him gladly. Now, the Bible said to lay hands suddenly on no man. But they had heard many things of this great man, folks, beyond a shadow of doubt. Paul was the greatest preacher outside the Messiah himself and John the Baptist, the greatest preacher in the New Testament age that preached to and defended the faith of the second Passover and the lost sheep in the far country, that the Messiah himself said in Luke chapter 19, I will be like a nobleman, I will take my flight back to the far country, and I'll send my hunters and fishermen after the 10 lost tribes scattered abroad in a far journey. Oh my. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let me show you something here. In the 18th verse, and the day following, this is the day after the Pentecost day, Paul went in to James and all the elders who were present. And when he saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought, not to the Gentiles, but ladies and gentlemen, this is Strong's number 1484, Ethnos. For God had wrought, remember, Gentiles is not the lost sheep that Paul was sent to. So this is a misnomer here, because they interchangeably put Gentiles where they should have been put in ethnos, or the lost sheep. And it's deceived a lot of people that Paul was preaching over there to the Gentiles, who in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 5 and 6, Yahweh sure in a flesh body commanded them not to go to the Gentiles. And you think that Paul broke the law? Don't think so. You think that Peter broke the law when he went over to Cornelius, if Cornelius was a Gentile? No. Strong's number 1484. Do your homework and look her up. And when they heard it, listen to this now, they glorified Yahweh and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of, it says the Jews, but this should be Hebrew, they are which believe and are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of you, that thou teachest all of the Hebrews, which are among the Gentiles. It wasn't the Jews scattered among the Gentiles, ladies and gentlemen, with the 10 northern tribes. Not the tribe of Judah. You see how, if you read the Bible correctly, how your understanding can grow? That the strong delusion is sent through the letters that the deceivers have intended to corrupt your mind? And you think you're reading the Bible all the time? I've known people that's been in this 20 years and still don't know where they're at. Can't find their way. How can you hear without a preacher? They won't hear the preacher. They go fumbling off and trying to make it on their own. And they walk and wander out in darkness. And that's why that the Bible said, I will not reveal anything to the sheep unless I reveal it first to the prophet. Now, the Bible said all things with the nine spiritual gifts are set in order. Now, we're informed, verse 21, that you teach the Gentiles to forsake. Now, we've heard this now. This is what they say. And we are informed of you that you teach all of the Hebrews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children and neither to walk after the customs. Oh, my, we're fixing to have a little spat here. Now, remember he shaved his head. He already had his head shaved. You reckon that he knew that he's going to, in verse 23... There were four men which had a vow on them to kill Paul for teaching contrary doctrine to the church at Jerusalem. Now, we're talking about the apostolic brethren. So if you go on and read down through verse 26, you're going to find out exactly what's happened. But I'm going to broad brush there. You finish it out if you can. Let me run back to the 15th chapter, where Paul is appearing to them on Pentecost, not Passover, as some people believed. We done proved that. And certain men, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses and keep the law, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, and that determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about the question. Now, remember again, Paul confirms it was 14 years before he ever seen Peter. 14 years before he ever got there. And being brought on the way by the church, in other words, the church sponsored their trip, paid their bill. They passed through these cities, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done them. Remember, I didn't read you that. This is the second witness. But there rose up, there's always the people that are full of leaven, they'll raise up. If they can get an advantage, if they can get an upper hand, they'll raise up. That's the flesh man. Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to hear a matter out before you raise up. If you've got unleavened bread in you and you fasted and you've laid in these caves and mountains for days on end and days on end and weeks on end and weeks on end, and you're praying that God would take your life before he let you deceive somebody, then you get enough courage and enough knowledge by searching the scriptures. For over 55 years, I've been a student of Yahweh's Word. I don't apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen, but I would not purposely teach you something to send your soul to hell. Why? Because my soul is hanging in the balance. There were certain people that rose up among the Pharisees. You're going to have them in every group. We've got them in our group, which believe, saying that it was necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. Now, we've had so many Pharisees in our group in our over the years. I mean, these are the people that want everything done like the law of Moses. You can't light a fire on the Sabbath. You can't gather sticks on the Sabbath, they say, and all these things, and without any interpretation. Ladies and gentlemen, when they killed them for gathering sticks, it was not that they needed fuel for their little fire, their family, or to cook their food on the Sabbath. You can cook on the Sabbath. Their guilt was that they were commercial wood gatherers and commercial bakeries, that they were trying to get a jump by baking their bread on the Sabbath and gathering the sticks to light their ovens to make commercial gain. That's why they got killed. So every factor of the Mosaic law needs an explanation. Now, they wanted to consider this matter, and the after they considered it, they should hear the gospel. And now, listen to this now. Simon, verse 14, declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles. Again, Strong's number, 1483 or 84. Ethnos, a group of people. Not the Gentiles. They weren't commanded to go to the Gentiles. See, this word has been put in there to deceive you by the translators to take out of them a people for his name. Oh, a people for his name. Only for his name. And we agreed to the words. And let me hurry on here. Now, forasmuch then, verse 24, that after that much reasoning, know that these who are turned to Yahweh, that they write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, ladies and gentlemen, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, what's things strangled? Well, if you go down to your meat market and buy that pretty wrapped-up cellophane package of meat, you don't know how your animal was killed. If you kosher kill, you bleed the animal by cutting his neck and letting the heart drain all the blood out. If you eat meat that's been strangled, an animal that's strangled in his own blood would create some kind of a substance in his body of anger and resentment. And when you eat it, you're going to eat the results of anger and resentment into your body. It is a marvel. That's why he said you shouldn't do that. And from blood. For Moses of old time has every one of them preached. Now, verse 24. For as much as we heard that certain of you have troubled you with words subverting your souls, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Now, if you'll read the rest of the story, as I don't have time, my time, ladies and gentlemen, an hour gets away from me before I even get started by just laying the foundation of a thought. Now, I've got to give you, if you will, this information for you that would like to attend the second Passover. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to start serving him somewhere. Why don't you start now? Come to the second Passover, where we're going to be meeting in Murphy, North Carolina, on May the 1st at sundown, starting with an old-fashioned foot-washing service with music and praise worship and a meal that will be served at 6 p.m., between 6 and 7. Now, this meal is the type that the meal that the Messiah was eating in John 13 and 1. We're going to be eating the bread of leaven for the last time. Because beginning the next day, we're going to have the beginning of, on the 15th day, we'll eat the first meal of leavened bread. And I gave you the word for it. And then we'll eat it for 7 days till the 9th. And then we will participate in our Passover. Now, on May the 2nd, we'll meet for the keeping of the second Passover. Services are going to start at 1 p.m. on the 2nd. Now, remember that. At 1 p.m. on the 2nd, we will meet to show you how to keep the Passover. And we'll show you the rituals of the Passover, and we'll keep it according to the rituals, and we'll do it according to the Bible, and we'll fix you a meal, kosher killed, if you will, and serve to you on the night of the 2nd, beginning the 3rd day, which is the first day of unleavened bread. Now, if you'll do that, let me give you a telephone number for the convention center, and I'll give you Brother Dean's number where we're going to be keeping the Passover. Let me give you to that to you first so you won't confuse the two. Brother Dean, call Brother Dean for directions to the property where we're going to kill the Passover. That's Brother Dean or Angela, his wife, at 828-837-8481. Again, 828, the area code for Murphy, North Carolina, 828-837-8481. Ask for Angela or Brother Dean, and they will give you directions into their property there on Martin Creek Road. That's 828-837-8481. where you need to go, Martin Creek Road. Anybody in Murphy knows where Martin Creek Road is. Get on Martin Creek and go a mile and a half, and you come to a one-way bridge, and the property is on the left with the Jacob Israel flag flying in the front yard. And we will be there keeping the second Passover, and we'll start there. We'll have the services there on the first, the night of the first, which is actually the 13th day at the going down the sun. It begins the 14th day. The next day, we will prepare the lamb meal all day long. We'll teach on the Passover and have good things to do there. And then at sundown, we will take the communal meal of the lamb and unleavened bread for 7 days. Now, on the third, meetings will start on Thursday, the 3rd, at the Convention Center in the Mountain Vista Inn at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So you be with us there at Mount Vista. The telephone number for Mountain Vista is 828-837-8880. That's 828-837-8880. I'm live, ladies and gentlemen, right here on WWCR around the world with the Shepherd's Call. If you want to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. My address, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, and the zip is 37824. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that it's wonderful to know that Yahweh is a strong tower, and the righteous are going to run into it, and they're going to be safe. Well, if you know that, let's get on the firing line for Yahweh. I'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR around the world with a 9-pound hammer. Brother Allen and the Shady Creek Boys.
I'll be before my side, Lord. I'll be before my side.